It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No champagne this week, although the Noles deserve it. You should, Corey. You're in the press box there at Chapel Hill. I'm back home. The visiting media was only allowed to send five people to this game because of COVID. So you're our representative from Orchant. So you're solo, but you couldn't sneak some champagne in for this one,
or even wine. You know, Cassell called this a wine and cheese crowd 30 years ago. I couldn't even find any wine, so it's just Diet Coke, and I just drank it. So sorry. You know, that's not a precedent I don't want to set. I don't want to keep dumping stuff on me. Like it's that Nickelodeon show from the 80s every time they win. Otherwise, I won't want them to win. But, man, what a win. I mean, that was – I texted you a few minutes ago. I don't know. We'll have to look it up. I'm sure somebody will. The largest point spread they've won as an underdog. That's got to be top three all time in program history. A lot of that is because they're not underdogs 17.5 points typically. But, man, what a win. A win that I don't think any of us really saw coming.
No, I don't think none of us predicted at Warchant. I don't think many people did outside of, you know, the most diehard fans. But then the way the game started, I certainly didn't. Yeah. You had several defensive players out for the game. We find out before the game that Jared Jackson, who's going to be backing up Dennis Briggs, who's out for the season, he's going to be replacing him. He's not available for this game. So you're thinner at defensive tackle. They had three key defensive backs not available, and they've already been kind of thin at defensive back. And then they fall down 10-0 on the road. They haven't won a road game in 2 years. They've only won one in the last 3 years, basically. So then to turn it around and go up 21-10 like that really was kind of crazy to watch on TV. What was it like in person?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a raucous North Carolina crowd. I think that loss to start the season kind of took some of the juice out of them. But, when they got up 10-0, it was like Norvell said, it was rocking. I don't know if I'd call it rocking, but it was loud enough. And then, look, man, it was a crazy quarter, a crazy first half, because I think Florida State ran six plays in the first quarter for 12 yards. They just didn't have the ball. But early in the second quarter, Travis does what Travis does. If he's healthy, he's going to have a couple of plays like that, typically a game. And that 55-yard run, touchdown run, there ain't nobody else on the roster that's doing that. And I just think that play just gave them life. Like, okay, we're not backing down. We're not going to fold like we normally do on the road. We're in this thing. And then I think the defense immediately got to stop. I don't know if it was a punt or the Jarian Jones pick, but whatever happened, they got to stop. And then Florida State goes right down the field and scores again. And all of a sudden, they feel good about themselves. And that win last week, man, I mean, it does – when you win and figure out how to win and win the important plays like they did against Syracuse late, I think that buoyed them a little bit and gave them some confidence. And I just think it had all the makings of a familiar Florida State loss on the road until that Jordan Travis run. And then it was just like the floodgates opened. And they did almost anything they wanted offensively. They only punted twice the rest of the way, and both times were on 4th-and-1. You know, it wasn't like they were ever really backed up. They just like that they're at the end of the game and coming out of the second half, they punted on 4th-and-1. So they were only 1 yard away from getting those punts. So just a really incredible offensive performance, I thought.
I think something we'll have to see if we can dig into this week. I think that we talked about it a little bit last week. I still don't really understand it. This Jordan Travis, the last 2 weeks, is the guy that we expected to see, especially running the football. All season, it really wasn't there in the first few weeks. This is the guy that won them those games last week. Do you have any theories on what happened? Why? And I hate to look back on the losses, but he didn't play in all of them. He didn't get to play.
Right.
But when he did play, he wasn't this guy running the football.
No, I don't have any idea. I think he's the kind of guy, like he came in the Jacksonville State game. I think we both agree that probably, or he did not play much in the Jacksonville State game. Hindsight, that was a mistake. Right. They win that game if they play him. But no, I don't know. The Notre Dame game, he ran for 9 yards, and it was 25, came on one run right there at the end. But he's looked like a different guy. And what's funny is you know, he has a couple of runs where he'll get 4 or 5 yards and he'll get the edge, but he won't sprint by the guy. And he might get 6 yards when maybe you thought, okay, that was up there. That could have been a 20-yard run. It's like he gets warmed up. It's like it takes a couple of plays running the ball for him to get warmed up. And he got warmed up and just torched him. I mean, look, he ran for 120 yards and completed his last 11 passes for 145 more yards. And he accounted, like we just showed on the graph, he accounted for 5 touchdowns. That's crazy. That's like ACC Player of the Week numbers. And I think, look, I think I've said it all along, but it's not like I'm alone in this. When he's healthy, he's the guy. There's just no other way. There's no other way to say it now. He's the guy. It's the healthy part that matters. But they are a different team when he plays. They're 5-3. And in the 8 games he's played the majority of the snaps the last 2 seasons, they're 5-3. 2 of the losses were to Notre Dame. Every other game, they're 0-7. Like that's how important he is to just everything. I just think him being on the field, even somehow, for some reason, gives the defense some confidence. But whatever the reason is, him being out there is huge for Florida State.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, as that game goes on and they're running the ball the way they were with Corbin and Jordan and Trayshawn and really kind of controlling the line of scrimmage and putting together these long, sustained drives, you start to wonder, you know, why couldn't they do this earlier in the year? But then you think back to all those drives that they had that were just sabotaged by being 2nd and 15, 3rd and 18, 1st and 15. And the last 2 weeks, they've cleaned that up. And to me, like, that seems like that's been a huge difference because they haven't been playing in these just terrible – they haven't been behind the chains all game like they were in those earlier games.
Yeah, I think the first drive, they had a false start, and that didn't go well. And then other than that, I think they had another hold, but they ended up getting the first down anyway in scoring maybe. But other than that, yeah, they're not shooting themselves in the foot. They're not good enough to overcome 2nd and 25. We know that. But they're good enough if you give them 4 downs to get 10 yards with that guy at quarterback, they can usually get it. And I thought something else that was – by the way, how about the back – I mean, the way I'm backlit, I mean, this is crazy. This looks incredible. This should be my avatar. Look at this. It looks like a green screen. I promise I'm in Chapel Hill. I'm here. There's a stadium behind me. It doesn't look like it, but there is. I did come to – there you go. You can see the trees. So I am here, I promise. But I thought also, Ira, you had dudes actually make plays, right, man. Right. Like, we talk about that. Like, Jordan Travis isn't going to put it on you every throw. We know that. Keyshawn had a big third down catch in the first part of the game coming across the middle that was thrown too hard and too behind him. But he made the catch. Maybe that's a play he doesn't make a couple of weeks ago. And then his biggest catch, not even the 44-yarder, was the one on the sideline when Travis rolls out to his left on 3rd and 12. They don't pick up 3rd and 12s in this offense. For him to get that open and then get his tippy toe on the ground and make that catch, that's a big-time play, man. That's a big-time play. Malik McClain's catch was big-time. And then our boy Trayshawn Ward to ice the game. That run that's like Rock Preston. Somebody tweeted me that it reminded him of Rock Preston, and that was a rock. That's just a guy that's going to win the game. He's trying to win the game right there, and that's what he did. And sometimes it does come down to guys making plays. And with that dude at quarterback, they make more plays than when he's not there.
And really on both sides of the ball. I mean, Jarian Jones getting that interception. I mean, I don't know how many times Florida State defensive backs have come up with big interceptions in key moments, but that was a huge one because Florida State had just scored. North Carolina comes right down the field, looks like they're going to score again. Sam Howell puts it up to their best wide receiver. Jarian Jones picks it off. Then the offense gets the ball and goes right down and scores again. I mean, that's a sequence that we have not seen from Florida State, and because they lose football games. That's something we've talked a lot over the last couple of years. Those are things losing teams do. Well, these are things winning teams do.
Yeah, and they don't lose to Mac Brown for whatever reason. I don't know what the deal is there. And I also don't know if Sam Howell – still feels a little guilty for leaving Florida State in the lurch and leaving Willie in the lurch. So he's like, you know what? Once a year, I'm going to have 24 incompletions and I'm going to let you guys win. We're not winning anything anyway. So enjoy this, guys. Enjoy this, Noll Nation. But yeah, I think that play by Jarian Jones, you're right. That's a play they don't make. That's a play they haven't made in a long time. That was a 50-50 ball. When was the last time you saw an FSU corner win a 50-50 ball like that? Well, not just pass it away to pull it down in the end zone. Florida State's luck, usually they come down with their knee at the half-yard line. He actually comes down in the end zone, so they get the ball to 20. You just don't see that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is normally they'll be in position. They just won't make the play.
Yeah.
And then the other team's play.
Well, in another big sequence was, you know, they come out with a 21-10 lead, and they immediately go 3 and out. Again, by this much, they don't get it on third down, so they punt. In North Carolina, thanks to, I think there was a 31-yard Howell run on third down. He was better with his legs than his arm today, by the way. And he's pretty good.
And his receivers didn't help him a whole lot.
No, at all. Yeah, that's another thing. There was a break in there. There was a crossing route where the safety was coming over and slipped, and the kid dropped it. And if he catches it, it's probably 75-yard touchdown. He's out the gate. But didn't catch it, did he? He did not catch it. But looking back, they cut it to 21-17 immediately after 4 minutes of the third quarter. Florida State goes right back down the field and scores again. Those are the things that he talks about response all the time, Norvell. Response and answering and being tough when things are down. That's what he's talking about. They go right back down the field and score. And I felt like that kind of turned the game. There were obviously some other plays later on down the line, but that touchdown right after going three and out and right after UNC had scored was huge. It's a huge play, or huge drive.
He after the game, he said this is a new team. Mike Norvell said this is a new team. Talking about, I guess basically saying we can't hold all those previous losses on the road. They're not going to react the same way. This is a new team, and they've got a new mindset. I think you start to see that, and I think this bye is at a good time because they're going to get healthier. The offensive line, the move, you know, Devontae Love Taylor, we love him. Trench talk, he's our guy. But when he went out and Bavion went into guard, it seemed like Bavion played pretty well at guard. It seemed like to me.
Yeah.
We'll see what the PFF grades are, but the offensive line played well. Jordan Travis didn't get sacked once in the game. Part of it's because of him, but they also gave him time. They also created some running lanes and some push. They got some short yardage runs. So the offensive line played well. The secondary played probably its best game of the year. Not perfect, but probably the best game of the year. And now you get this bye week. Does it give you any thoughts that maybe Florida State could maybe knock off one or two of these teams in the second half of the season that earlier in the year we thought they probably wouldn't have a chance to win?
Clemson didn't like what they saw tonight, my man. Clemson didn't want any part of this. Look, man, I just think it really comes down to him at quarterback. I hate to put so much stock in one person, but the offense is so different when he's back there. They have now put up 68 points in the last two games. That's good. 34 points a game, you can do some things with that. The defense doesn't have to be great because this defense ain't. So if you can put up 34, 35 points every game, you like your chances. So, yeah, I do think – I mean, Louisiana Tech put 27 up on NC State. Florida State at home could do something like that, maybe more if Jordan Travis is healthy, and then you're in a game. Same thing with Miami. This guy gives you a chance because of how they have to defend him. You know, those plays aren't open. You know, Helton's not open by 50 yards, I don't think. Well, he was against Jacksonville State, and he dropped it. But good on you, Keyshawn, to catch this one. That wasn't a great throw either. But you're not getting these guys wide open if somebody else is at quarterback. They have to account for 13 with his legs, and he still runs for 120 yards and then completes the last 11 passes. And got to cut the sod, as we see right there.
Man, he runs his own read about anybody as I've ever seen.
Did it seem like today, Ira, that he held it like Sam Hartman-like longer than he's ever held it?
Forever. And then he would even, after he kept it, he would kind of accentuate the fake even more. I mean, he sold it so well.
And when he didn't have it, he'd run behind the running back sometimes as if he did have it. And my eyesight ain't the best. I'm like, oh, I didn't know who had the ball half the time, which I guess is a nice weapon to have. And that guy, look, that run he made, putting his foot in the ground, that just that left foot and go, there ain't a lot of quarterbacks in the country that are making that run look that easy. And he has that about him. It's just a matter of him staying healthy. If he stays healthy, he's a sophomore. All those dudes on the line, a lot of them are young. His running backs are all young. Like you start, like these last 2 weeks, does it give you any hope that maybe there's an offense that's forming here that might not just be competent or average, but could be a good offense down the line? I mean, North Carolina is not a great defense by any stretch, but 35 on the road, Florida State hadn't done that in an ACC game in a long time.
And the one thing I would say, and we'll wrap it up here because I know you got to finish writing and get on the road. But
that's right.
One other thing that, you know,
I'm really in Chapel Hill. Sure. I hope they buy the green screen.
They're going to change it to the moon landing here in a second. but I think the fact that we can all sit here and say we all criticize the play calling, offensive play calling, the first 4 weeks of the season. It looked bad. It looked like they didn't have an identity. But play calling has got to be a lot easier when things work. Yeah. When the linemen block right, when you don't get holding, false start every first down, when the receivers make plays. I mean, the receivers got challenged this week by the coaching staff, and they came up huge. I mean, you talked about some of those catches. Malik McClain in the end zone was a huge catch. I mean, you had several guys come through with huge catches that you haven't been getting. So now that takes a lot of pressure off of the play calling. Now things start to work. So yeah, man, you can see a lot of things being different. The one last thing I want to bring up was, what did you think of the Powerade bath at the end of the game? Some people on social media were like, oh, how can you do that when you beat North Carolina? But man, they're 18 point underdogs, first road win in 2 years. I'm not going to begrudge it. Well, hey, we're the ones partying with champagne last week. We can't.
Who are we to judge? That's just unclassy, Mike. How do you do that, Mike? How do you get dumped with Powerade, man? Have some pride, for crying out loud. No, I don't really have much of a problem with it. Look, it's a team that's desperate, a team that hasn't felt like this, and it's not every day you win as an 18 point underdog on the road. It's not. I mean, again, I don't know. People can look it up and tweet at us. I don't know it's ever happened before in Florida State history. And for him to get that kind of win on the road, now it's two wins in a row. It probably needs to be the last one, unless, say, they win at Clemson or they win at Florida. That's worth it. But other than that, yeah, maybe don't make it a habit. But I don't really have a problem with it. You know, more importantly, just, you know, I would say about midway through the fourth quarter against Syracuse, like you joked the week before, a little victory bell action, see? I got them to time that up, if you can hear that.
Perfect.
I was about to look for a different profession. Like, I didn't like what we were doing. You know what I mean? It wasn't all that fun. I like what I do for a living. Don't get me wrong. It's a fun job, but covering a bad football team isn't. I would say starting with the second half of the Louisville game.
Right.
Dare I say this has been a pretty decent football team. Louisville ain't terrible. Syracuse isn't terrible. And then North Carolina's not terrible. They're not great. These aren't great shakes, but from a team in the depths they were at, to now play two and a half pretty good games together with some hiccups here and there, and show they can score and put points on the board these last two, I think that gives you some hope moving forward that, okay, maybe they get to four or five wins this year, but you've seen what it can look like. You've seen how quickly it can get better from week to week. So maybe what it can look like a year from now or 2 years from now when he gets more and more of his players in and this offense really can hump. We keep Jordan Travis upright.
All right, man. Turn off your green screen. You can get on the road.
I will. Now. I got to find this button here. I can't find it. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. Drive careful, buddy. We'll see you soon.